Let's bow our heads as we get set to hear from God's word. Heavenly Father, you know our journey. You know where we are in our faith walk. Lord, I just pray that you continue to strengthen us with your Holy Spirit, encourage us with your word and your promise, and help us live lives that respond to your resurrection each and every day. Amen. So we're in a sermon series. It's been after the Easter Sunday that we are getting into this idea of how we can respond to the resurrection. The first weekend was a reflection on fear, where Pastor Eden talked about fear and then how to have a healthy fear in respect and awe and reverence for our Lord. Pastor Kaiser last week talked about forgiveness, how we receive God's forgiveness, but also as Christians, we are called to forgive others as well. You saw in our confession today where we have enemies. You know, oftentimes we refuse to break bread with them, but maybe we need to rethink that, to offer forgiveness where forgiveness can be offered. Today, the announcement said we're going to be talking about being a part of God's flock, but I'm going to change the idea just a little bit as we look at the idea of being fulfilled, content, if you would, by the blessings that God gives us. Think about what Candace just read in Acts chapter 4. That was a response of the early church to knowing that Jesus was risen from the dead. The apostles were giving great witness. They were giving testimony to everything they had seen and heard. And the church, the early church, was forming all amidst this great news of the resurrected Christ. And what were they doing? They recognized they were of all one heart and soul and mind. Owners of land and property would sell their property and they would lay it at the disciples' feet. Right. This was all just a response. They recognized this. We have all things in common, and it was regardless of social economic status. It was regardless of their gender, of their heritage, or their ethnicity. They had all things in common. They were brothers and sisters who believed in Jesus Christ, who were sinful human beings that needed a Savior, and Jesus came for them. And out of a response to all that Jesus did, they were saying, Lord, every gift that I have, it doesn't belong to me. Use it to your service. They weren't being compelled. Their arms weren't being twisted around their back. Their government wasn't saying, give us your possession. We're going to give it to the needy. No, this was just an absolute response of God's people saying, Lord, you've given me a gift. Let my blessings be a blessing to other people. And they were laying it down at the apostles' feet. And it's absolutely astounding to just think about that response. And it's absolutely convicting as I think about my own life and my own response to things. We're going to reflect now on a psalm that is very special. It's near and dear to a lot of Christians' hearts. A lot of the times it's spoken at funerals. Psalm 23, we read it back and forth together. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? Whoa. Is this saying, Lord, if I follow you, I shouldn't want for things? Sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes it feels like, you know, because of being a Christian, you know, I just need to just trust in you, Lord, and not want. I don't want to sin. But is it a sin to want your government to do things according to God's way of doing things? Is it a sin to want to be healthy? Is it a sin to want a thriving marriage? Is it a sin to want your child to grow up knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior? I shall not want? What's going on there? Who here had to memorize Psalm 23? All right. Who here memorized Psalm 23 in the King James Version? I'm going to venture out to say that it's probably because of the King James translation that we in 2024 get a little tripped up in this idea of wanting. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in just a few moments. But I want to kind of go back to this opening line. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's some beautiful language in here. And I asked you, have you memorized the scriptures? And it's a good thing when we memorize scriptures, when we rehearse scriptures, when we speak scriptures out loud, when it hits our ears and it trickles down into our very core of our being, What we're basically doing is we're calling God's word. We're calling out God's promise. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, you're my shepherd. And according to your word, I'm part of your flock. Yeah, this guy that holds on to possessions, this guy that sometimes chases after things that we shouldn't be chasing after, and we can all say that, right? We hop the fence. We look for greener pastures, if you would. This guy, you are part of God's flock. It's just like when we gather together for worship and we begin worship by saying, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What are we doing? We're invoking God's name. We're basically recognizing just what happened in this baptism here just a little while ago. Lord, according to your word, I'm one of your children. Lord, according to your word, I'm part of the family. And just, it's amazing the blessings that we start to receive there. And then it gets into this idea of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, what's the angle here? About 400 years ago, the King James translation came out and it says, I shall not want. But the English language changes the meanings of word regularly. In 2024, the word want means desire, gotta have it. Back in 400 years ago, the word want meant to be in need. So if we want to put a positive spin on this, it's the Lord is my shepherd, I shall have all that I need. I shall have all that I need. Do you hear the promise? And then you start to see how after sentence after sentence after sentence of that psalm is just one blessing after another. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, he feeds me, he comforts me, he anoints my head with oil, he prepares a table before me, my cup overflows, he pursues me, he chases after me, we sang just a little while ago, with his goodness and mercy. So that wherever I go, whatever I do, his goodness and mercy are always there chasing after me. It's a beautiful thing that we can just hold on to that promise, and when we speak those words out loud together, it just nourishes our soul, so I encourage that. However, there are times when we use our mouth to sing God's praise, but Jesus calls us out, he says, but our hearts are far from him. And so let's take a look at where we neglect the promises of God. All right, looking again at this psalm where we aren't content with the life that God has given us. And so he says, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. And I kind of tipped my hand just a little while back. Sometimes we, even though we're part of the fold, we're safely secured in Jesus' flock, we jump the fence and we go wandering, chasing after the things of the world. You want a thriving, healthy relationship. You're not getting it in your marriage. You start to look elsewhere. It starts to feel good because you're getting attention from somebody. You go down a slippery slope. You're doing things you never thought you'd be doing. You're betraying your marriage vows. Our hearts are far from Jesus when we do that kind of thing. Jesus says in his word that he leads us beside the still waters. But we really don't want still waters. Still is calm. Still is boring. We want the exciting, bubbling thing, the next greatest thing that's going to just give us a thrill. Scripture says, he restores my soul, but frankly, the world doesn't want you buying that. Advertisement after advertisement, dangling little carrots out there saying, if you really want a good life, if you want this, you got to have this possession or this belonging or do this. And we buy into that also. Sometimes we don't even want to recognize that our soul needs restoration, and we say things like, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not all that bad. I haven't done anything all that serious. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. More often than not, rather than giving God the glory, we are seeking to make a name for ourselves. Here's one. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. A lot of times when we are diagnosed with an illness that we weren't expecting to hear, maybe it's terminal, some of our initial responses are, why? Why me? God, if you're my shepherd, if you're a loving God, why are we even walking down this path anyway? Why are we doing this valley of the shadow of death thing? Why are we doing that, Lord? If you're a loving God, why didn't you steer me out of harm's way? All of these things, all of our human sinful responses, just betraying the promises that God gives. He's pouring out his blessings, his goodness and mercy, pursuing us all of our days. All that we need, we have in him. And Jesus gives an answer to all of those questions that we may have. In John chapter 10, verse 27, we didn't get that today. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. And that's what we want to be about. But this is what the voice of Jesus is telling us today. He says this for the church of all ages. He says, do you know that blood that was sprinkled on the doorpost, Old Testament church? And the angel of death passed by. That was my blood. New Testament church, 2024 church, you know that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross? That was my blood, Jesus says. And it covered all of your filthy deeds and your filthy rags, and you're wearing robes of righteousness now. Absolutely forgiven. Jesus says, I didn't ask you to pay for your sins. What? Jesus says, I didn't ask you to pay for your sins. I did it. I did it. The promise, it is finished. Folks, it's a beautiful thing, and we can respond, but let's take a little bit of a time here and reflect. There's one response to the resurrection that we really need to talk about. It's our Heavenly Father's response to the earthly ministry of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father saw Jesus' earthly ministry. Our Heavenly Father saw all of the deeds that he did. Our Heavenly Father watched Jesus crucified. Our Heavenly Father watched Jesus laid in a tomb. And he saw all that Jesus had done was good, and he awoke him from death, the resurrection. See, God the Father responded with the resurrection. And it gives us hope. Because with Jesus being raised from the dead, of us being credited with his life and his work, we also will have resurrection hope. And it's a sure thing. It'll never be taken away from us. Right? Had Jesus one impure thought, if Jesus had one curse word, if Jesus had done one sinful action, he'd still be lying in the tomb. God saw that all his son had done. And he says, it is finished, it is fulfilled, sin atoned for. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And how do we respond? Knowing that we have all that we need. Knowing that God's goodness and mercy chases us every day. Knowing that the very breath that we have in everything that we've been given is a gift, and we can use it to glorify you, Lord. And that's what we want to do. We want to use our life. We want to use our gift to be a reflection of all that you've given us. We want to show how beautiful it is to live with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. Amen.